Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's another week, and we're live and off and running today with the Hoosier Report, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers, and of course, sports mixed in from a Southern Indiana perspective as well. Glad you're with us. Hope you had a good weekend. Restaurants open today at 50% capacity. I guess that's kind of the latest headline as we continue on in a phase two, in Indiana at least, of fighting this virus and maybe getting back to some normalcy of life. And my question to you is, in fact, we have our first The Hoosier Report poll question that goes up during our program where you can actually vote on our Twitter account. But would you go today, this week, sometime in the immediate future to a restaurant here in Clark and Floyd counties? Would you go, would you eat at a restaurant today or this week? Would you go out with your family? Would you meet a business appointment for lunch at a local establishment, knowing that it's 50% capacity regulations, knowing that there are regulations that mandate the staff have masks and gloves and specific things like that? I'm curious. I'm curious what the news reports today coming out on various outlets and tonight's news on television look like. Are restaurants going to be crowded? I can't imagine that they will be, but maybe people have been holed up, have been pinned up for so long that they need to get back to something normal, and people will go out. But it'll be interesting to see. I'm curious your thoughts, and that, I think, poll goes online any moment. You'll be able to vote in that coming up here in just a bit. Welcome into the show today. Glad to have you with us. Always fun to start another week, and plenty of stuff in the hopper for you today and throughout the week, and so we're glad that you're with us here on the program. A quick reminder as well, if you can't catch us live at 11 o'clock, don't forget the other way you can find our show is as a podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts and also SoundCloud as well. So two easy ways to keep up with the show. If you can't catch us live here on the Big X, we'd love to have you with us. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We're going to start off when we get to the headlines here in a moment with really some negative stuff. An IU football player over the weekend lost both of his parents. It was junior wide receiver Cam Wilson, and it's a very suspicious situation, and we'll talk about that coming up in our headlines. Also, some news at Christian Academy. We told you about TJ Proctor last week. He committed to IU Southeast. There's been another college commitment to the Division I level from Christian Academy. We'll talk about that. And also, Christian Academy on Friday announced a new head coach to replace Steve Kerberg. We'll mention that in our headlines. Don't forget Jeffersonville set to hire, vote at least on the hiring of a new boys basketball coach tomorrow night, Tuesday, at the Greater Clark County School Board meeting. And a couple other headlines we'll get to in this opening segment. Later in the show, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, he joins me for a chat on IU basketball. We'll take a look at what's going on with the program. We'll take a look at some other news that came out over the weekend about Zion Williamson. Not good stuff. Very interesting to see what happens here. More coming out that he did take impermissible benefits, not only from Nike, not only from Adidas, but from people associated with Duke before and after he was committed to play for the Blue Devils. So we'll see what comes of this. Of course, Zion has moved on after one great year of college basketball and is in the NBA, but it's going to be interesting to see what comes of this and how this affects Duke, who's always been able to stay clean, whether they have legitimately been clean or have avoided potential problems like this when it comes to impermissible benefits. This one is going to be interesting. And, of course, lots of tension, even though he's no longer at Duke, on Zion. He's just one of those notable players that kind of has caught everybody imagination and interest, and I think we follow him very closely. A lot of people do. Will be interesting to see what comes out of that. We'll talk about that with Zach. And also, we'll get into some things from last night's The Last Dance. I love the show. Fantastic stuff. Last night may have been the two most emotional episodes of the program so far. Jordan getting emotional. He talked a lot about his dad. Of course, he was murdered. He also spoke about how hard he was on his teammates, and actually had to call for a break in the recording at that point. But very interesting stuff. We'll recap last night's. We've only got one more week of that. 2 hours, two episodes every week. Hard to believe it. It's already heading into the fifth Sunday next week. But we'll recap that with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Then later in the show, I mentioned this last week, Trey Kaufman, Silver Creek standout. Obviously, he's a big IU recruiting target in the 2021 class. He's got lots of attention out there from colleges. Recently got a Virginia offer, North Carolina recruiting him, Duke, Kentucky. Does he take the step up to some of those other big programs outside of the Midwestern footprint? We're going to talk with him today. It's actually an interview with Trey that I recorded last week along with Chris May, who's the director of the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. We started a new podcast during this coronavirus downtime called the Indiana High School Hoops Podcast with Dennison and May. And so we've been interviewing coaches and top players, not just from here, but from around the state. And you can find that podcast on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud as well. But we recorded the interview last week. The podcast went online just earlier with, it's a long form interview with Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman. And then the tail end of it, I don't know, 15 minutes, 14 minutes or so, is Trey Kaufman, of course, at Silver Creek. We're going to play the Trey Kaufman interview for you today. I know there's lots of interest in him, in his recruiting. Will Indiana be able to land him? Probably the most common question I get post-Romeo time is Trey Kaufman and what his recruiting looks like. So, yeah, in the interview, we talked some recruiting. We talked about schools. We talked about a potential timeline, maybe when he could see himself ready to make a decision. But a lot of the interview is just more so about Trey. What's he been doing to get better? What are some areas he wants to improve in? What has he been doing during all this shutdown of so many things daily with basketball that he would do, would work out, gyms he would go to, tournaments he would play in? And so we cover a lot of stuff about him as well. We even talk about Trey coaching his brother's second grade, I believe it is, Silver Creek travel team. So we get into some interesting stuff with Trey, and like always, very good interview, very intelligent kid, and we'll have that for you later in the program as well. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, and if you spend $15 or more, you're eligible to buy a large bone-in ham at 50% off. Again, a large bone-in ham at 50% off at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany if you spend $15 or more in the store. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And I also want to remind you, love to hear from you. Love to get your questions, your comments. Love to know what you're thinking. You can always tweet me during the show anytime, really, at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also follow us there for links to podcast, other news from the area, upcoming guests on the program. It's a good way to stay in touch with everything I've got going on. Again, at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. We also have a Facebook page for the show, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can follow us there. Send us a message there as well. Let's get into the lineup here, or I should say, let's get into the headlines. Over the weekend, this was really the headline news, the negative news of the weekend. But police are now investigating what's been called very suspicious deaths of the parents of Cam Wilson. He's a junior wide receiver at Indiana. And according to WTHR in Indianapolis, Cassandra Wilson, of Columbus, Indiana. And, of course, Cam is from Columbus. He played at Columbus East, great high school football program there. But Cam Wilson's mother, Cassandra, was identified as the victim of a fatal shooting at her residence Friday night in Columbus. So, again, Friday night, Cam loses his mother. Cam Wilson's father and Cassandra Wilson's ex-husband, Troy Wilson, was found dead in Indianapolis on Saturday afternoon. Indianapolis Metro Police have said that Troy Wilson, a person of interest in the investigation of his ex-wife's death, and of course his death obviously the following day as well. So terrible situation for Cam Wilson. There have been lots of well wishes and thoughts and prayers going out to him on social media. As you can imagine, a youngster in college losing not just one, but two parents to what could be, should be, I think, a horrific situation. Obviously, just something very tough to stomach, but our thoughts and prayers with Cam Wilson. That is a very tough deal. Also, some high school notes to pass along. Christian Academy of Indiana, they have promoted assistant coach Hayden Casey to take over as the head coach for the Warriors. He replaces Steve Kerberg, who resigned a few weeks ago after nine very good seasons for Christian Academy. Hayden Casey, a young guy, actually a Borden native. He kind of came up and got some tutelage from Doc Nash during his high school days. Went on to be an assistant coach for Steve Kerberg. He's a young guy, but he's been with Coach Kerberg for many seasons at Christian Academy, has been the JV coach, a teacher at Christian Academy, and kind of a natural progression for Hayden Casey to take over that program. Odd note, his sister is the girls' coach there. I don't know, you'd have to look pretty hard, I would think, to find a family combination, especially brother and sister combination at the same school coaching the boys and the girls teams. But Hayden, a good young coach in the area, good to see him get a start. Christian Academy's had some really good teams. He'll have to build that thing up. I know there may be some young talent coming through the pipeline, but he'll have some work cut out to build that program and keep it rolling along here in the next few years at least. And Hayden also will join us, as we always try to have the new high school coaches on. He'll join us Wednesday on the program to talk about his new position. Also, Christian Academy, second commitment within a couple days. Earlier last week, TJ Proctor, a really good point guard, he committed to IU Southeast. He's going to stay close to home and play for Wiley Brown. Really good situation and a great pickup for Wiley Brown's IU Southeast program. Over the weekend, Christian Academy senior Bailey Conrad committed to Western Kentucky University, Division I program. He's going to walk on there, and Bailey had a number of colleges interested in having him come and giving him a scholarship and making him part of their program, but he wanted to play college hoops, Coach Kerberg told me, at the very highest level that he could, and so Bailey Conrad will walk on at Western Kentucky University. Good kid. It would not surprise me if he's able to find his way into a meaningful role as a walk-on as he matures a little bit down the line in his career at WKU. Also, a high school note, reminder that Tuesday night, the Greater Clark County School Board is expected to vote on the hiring of a new boys and girls basketball coach at Jeffersonville. Now, there's lots of rumors out there, and one of the rumors is that Andrew Grant's former Providence coach, who left the area to take a high school job in Florida and has been coaching small college basketball, that he's one of the candidates possibly to be voted in for that boys basketball job on Tuesday night. We'll see if that holds up and if that's what does happen Tuesday. But again, according to sources and lots of talk out there, we'll say chatter out there, Andrew Grant's one of the finalists at least for that position. And a reminder that no matter who the new coach is for the Red Devils, we'll work hard to make sure that they join us on the program Wednesday. We'll have the new Red Devil coach coming up here on this show. That's a look at the Zaxby's headlines. Don't forget Zaxby's with locations in Jeff and New Albany, still open. I went there over the weekend. They've got a great setup for the drive-through since obviously they're seeing a lot of high volume there to get you in and out as quick as possible. And of course today, I don't know their specific plans, but many restaurants are slowly reopening at 50% capacity. But whatever you do, Don't forget about Zaxby's, great friends of high school sports in the area and a great supporter for many years of this radio show. One other note as well, later in the program today when we wrap up, we'll have our senior spotlight. Been really fun to do this each day. I think we're going on a month or 5 weeks now of spotlighting seniors that lost a spring sports season. And they've lost so much, graduation, just the regular finish to school, which are so many great memories and moments you get to share with classmates. But an extra hard deal if you're a spring sport athlete. You didn't get a chance after all the work in the preseason, didn't get a chance to go through the season, didn't get a chance to go through the tournament, the sectional, maybe try to get to a state championship individually or as a team, depending on your sport. And today we'll continue that. We've got five more lined up for this week to profile. Mason LaGrange is who we'll tell you about today from Borden High School, a member of the baseball team at Borden, and Mason LaGrange, our senior spotlight, that we'll tell you about later in the show today. That's segment one in the books. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, little IU basketball, little college basketball, and a lot more. Also, Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek. We've got an interview with him coming up later in the program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins in this segment. We talk IU basketball, IU football, and more when Zach is with us. And Zach, I also want to get into some of the Last Dance last night as well. I know you've been following along with that great Sunday night program, which is unfortunately coming to an end very soon. But what I wanted to start with today is just a very sad note. And I know we've had a lot of sad headlines recently, especially with the coronavirus and so many deaths in Indiana and around the country. But Cam Wilson, Columbus East product, great high school program. He was a very good high school player, Hoosier Hills Conference member, which meant he played a lot of our local schools here. Both of his parents, mother Friday night in Columbus and then father Saturday afternoon in Indianapolis, murdered, killed. The police have said that perhaps his father is a suspect, but just a terrible situation. He's a guy that hasn't been an impact player yet for Coach Allen and for IU football, but you really just, your heart goes out. You just shudder when you see that kind of news, losing parents and losing both in the weekend.
Yeah, forgive me. I think you've caught me flat-footed on this. Is there a little more? I've not caught this.
Yeah. His mother was killed Friday night in Columbus, and his father was killed or was found dead Saturday afternoon in Indianapolis. I know, and Zach, I need to say this, Zach has been on furlough from the Indianapolis Star, so I may be hitting him with some stuff that he hasn't been on top of that normally he may have written about already. But the statement from IU, just, you know, thoughts and prayers basically to Cam. But then I think an Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department report in one of the WTHR stories said that perhaps the father was a suspect, I believe. So very concerning situation. And just generally, you lose two parents in the same weekend, no matter the situation. It's just a terrible thing.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I think, too, maybe the reminder at times anyway that that sports – that there's more to sports than results and salaries and wins and losses. You know, I know in talking to coaches, I did a story talking to one of IU's strength coaches a couple weeks ago about just how they're handling all this. And he said, you know, he said, realistically, it's not the time that we're losing with these athletes in terms of getting them physically in shape. We can get them physically in shape again. But it's the time we're losing to have that relationship and for them to have that camaraderie, and that, you know, that sense of togetherness, that sense of community, that sense of, you know, kind of being part of a broader whole that sports can really give you, and I think really kind of develop, you know, within you in a way as well. And I mean, I can't think of a worse time to not be able to have that really than a situation like that. And forgive me for needing a little more update. Like you said, I'm on furlough, and in fact, I've been spending the entire morning preparing to paint my power wash and paint my deck. So it's needless to say, not a sports writing week for me. But yeah, I mean, I don't even know how you begin to process something like that.
Yeah, very difficult stuff. There's no question about that. Keeping it with IU football, I saw former IU coach on Big Ten Network saying, just talking about the Big Ten in general for next season, and he mentioned that Indiana could be, in his opinion, obviously, one of the teams in the conference that could be affected most by a shorter offseason as far as time to work with players, time to get on the field, no spring activities because of some coaching changes and new faces, and maybe they wouldn't have the gel and the experience headed into the season. I never thought of it from that perspective, but there have been a handful of staff changes as coaches have maybe accepted head coaching jobs or moved to another program, moved up the football chain a little bit. Is that a legitimate concern in the off season that this Indiana team has some moving parts with both players and coaches, that the extra time the spring allows and all the off-season stuff could have them maybe more gelled and ready when the regular season gets here?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if I completely agree with that. I mean, I think on paper you look at it and say, yeah, Indiana's lost an offensive coordinator, a special teams coordinator. You know, they've lost a defensive line coach. The way they've shifted things around, they've also wound up adding a safeties coach. But, you know, the flip side to all that, and one of the last things I did last week before my furlough began was had a long conversation with Nick Sheridan, Indiana's incoming offensive coordinator, who, of course, has been on Indiana's staff for three seasons before, you know, had already been on staff for three seasons before becoming OC. And, you know, obviously there's going to be stuff that Nick Sheridan would, under normal circumstances, be doing, or at least would have been doing, you know, through the course of things like spring practice that he's not able to do now. I do think it's interesting that with what coaches, when, you know, those windows have been open, have been allowed to do in terms of film study with players and position meetings, actually virtually, it's obviously not the same as being in person, but it's really not that different. It's with screen sharing and mirroring and things like that, you can walk guys through, you know, pretty step-by-step stuff you need them to study, stuff you want to break down. I actually would argue kind of in the other direction. I mean, listen, of course you'd be better off if you had no graduating seniors, if you'd not lost a single coach, if you'd not, you know, if you'd not seen any sort of turnover whatsoever. Of course you'd, at least in theory, be in a better position than, you know, if you suffer any of those sorts of losses. But I would say that Nick Sheridan's offense is probably not going to be terribly different from the one Kalen DeBoer left behind. The offensive staff around him, with the exception of Kevin Wright, the new tight ends coach, has stayed the same. And, you know, the only reason Kevin Wright was hired, well, not the only reason, but the reason for Kevin Wright's hiring was that the tight ends coaching position came open because Nick Sheridan had occupied it and moved to offensive coordinator. And then you look around Indiana's roster and you return so much experience. You're going to have a quarterback back with a sizable number of attempts from last season. You've obviously got a stable backfield. You've got your top two wide receivers back. It sounds like there may be a window, and I imagine this is a separate discussion, but there may be a window to Peyton Hendershot returning to the team. You're going to return three offensive linemen with a whole bunch of more experienced ones around you as well. And my point kind of in all this is I sort of get where Jerry DiNardo is coming from, I just don't think I agree. I think that actually when you figure in how much Indiana is returning in terms of production, they're actually, in terms of percentage of production on the defensive side, number one in the Big Ten in returning defensive production. I actually think that it's actually in some respects the opposite, that I think Indiana is potentially in a better position because there's going to be a lot of stuff technically and schematically that you may not need to get these guys up to date on that you would, you know, otherwise you would normally.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, with us. I do quickly want to get a basketball note in before we head to a break, and we've got Trey Kaufman coming up in an interview in the next segment. But, you know, there was some activity with recruiting a few weeks ago. Obviously, the coaches are continuing on in their daily recruiting practices, trying to make those relationships, ultimately get commitments. Of course, we got a little bit of news when Demezi Anderson left. And right now, with college basketball on hold, things are really kind of in a holding pattern, you could say. It's been kind of a quiet few weeks for IU basketball. Probably a pretty good time, I guess, to be furloughed, Zach, if you have to be.
Well, and this is, you know, it's funny. I was on a Zoom call with my family last night for Mother's Day, and my sister asked, you know, just kind of what's your work like? And I said, well, to be honest, you know, if this big sort of existential threat to life as we know it wasn't looming over everything we were doing in our daily lives, it would probably be about the same in terms of workflow. You know, this would be a quiet time of year, probably be writing a few baseball stories, you know, doing a little bit of basketball analysis, waiting for bits of the schedule to come out, waiting to see how the roster shook out, you know, things like following Christian Landers, you know, sort of plan for reclassification. And I think normally either at the end of this month or the beginning of June, we'd have the opportunity to sit with Archie Miller before the event at Huber Farms, which I don't know if it's been called off or not, but I think we can all presume it's not likely to happen. You know, this is everybody's quiet time. I mean, this is one of the two, this and basically the end of July, beginning of August are the two windows for just everybody to take a breath in college basketball. There would be some recruiting going on and things like that, but broadly speaking, this is, you know, kind of our one big quiet time, if you want to say. And so it's funny because I think when people ask me, you know, what's your job like right now? It's like, well, you know, truthfully, other than the fact that we're all trying to get our arms around coronavirus and how it's going to affect us and on, it's not terribly different from what it normally would be. You know, the difference I will see is if we're still in this holding pattern in July and in August, and there's questions about when seasons can start up and that sort of thing, what they'll look like and how they'll work. You know, that's when things, I think, will change pretty dramatically.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, always with us on Mondays. Wanted to cover some other things. We'll catch up to you on those next week as we've got to get to a break. Zach, as always, thanks for joining us, even in a time when you're technically away from work for a week. Glad you're still willing to come on with us here on the Monday show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always. Really appreciate it.
For sure. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us. We'll step out to a commercial break. When we come back, Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek, an interview recorded last week. This is for the Indiana High School Hoops podcast with Dennison and May. We wanted to give you the first opportunity to hear it. We talk about his recruiting, what he's been up to, areas of his game he wants to work on, Silver Creek, the state tournament being canceled, so much more. So stay with us for that. Also, our senior spotlight, Mason LaGrange of Borden. He's a member of the baseball team at Borden. We'll profile him in the final segment today as well. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Monday program. Trey Kaufman, an interview coming up here in just a moment from the Indiana High School Basketball Podcast that Chris May and I have started during this downtime. Lots of interviews with coaches and some of the top players from across the state. And today we put out episode 8 of our new podcast. It features Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek and also Trey Kaufman, his star player as well. And we wanted to play a great portion of that interview with Trey for you today on the program. Again, this is Trey Kaufman. We talk a lot about recruiting, what he's been up to during the coronavirus shutdown of school and basketball, and so much more. Here's Trey Kaufman. Very much looking forward to next season, hoping to make another run at Indianapolis. Trey, we appreciate you taking some time to be with us today and hope that all is well in this kind of different period. Coronavirus is sure, I know, been a different time for you as well as a high school student and as a basketball player. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I want to talk a little bit about your experience so far at Silver Creek. Obviously, you came in as a freshman, a notable freshman. You got lots of playing time and opportunity early on in your career. And then as a sophomore, you helped lead your team to Indianapolis, and you guys beat another notable program with a couple really good players to win a state championship. So when I ask you how the experience has been so far at Silver Creek, I know the answer is really good, but talk about the experience and talk about some of the fun moments that you've had with your teammates and representing your school and community so far.
For me, I've grown up around Silver Creek forever. Seems like all my family, either teachers there or has been there, went there. So I remember, watching the older teams when, Coach Hoffman was there when I was younger. So just to, put on the Silver Creek uniform is, that was enough for me. But obviously winning state and accomplishing all that we've done so far, it's a great honor. Moments with my teammates, obviously the state moment, the weeks after that. But I think that just the day-to-day, how much we enjoy going and practicing, that's my favorite part.
I mean, Trey, the obvious question to be asked here is, you were defending 3A state champions. You were ranked number one all season long. You were the top pick to win 3A state again. The rug got pulled out from under you with the coronavirus and the tournament getting canceled. What was that like for you? What emotions did you experience knowing you wouldn't have a chance to win the trophy this year?
It's definitely frustrating. As you're looking at it, I think we had the best record in Silver Creek history. We may have had the best team in Silver Creek history. And I'm not comparing to, obviously, the year before this year's team was really good as well. But when you have a great team like that, you don't know, how many great teams are going to come after that. And you don't know, you don't know what would have happened. But like you said, we haven't lost a 3A game since, I think it was Brownstown last year. So like number of games we played without losing to a 3A team and, obviously we beat some of the better 4A teams this year. I definitely think we would have won. So it's, especially for our senior bets, it's hard for me to, not have that closure for him. But, he expects us to go out and win it next year. So,
Trey, I want to ask you, you go from a disappointing announcement that the regional is going to be postponed to ultimately the announcement that the state tournament is canceled, as you see everything else in our lives changing as well, from sports on TV going away to family needing to stay at home and be very cautious about things. And then you find out one of your other loves, and I know you were really looking forward to this offseason whenever it did get here, because it was going to be a big chance for you to continue to prove yourself on the shoe circuit, the travel circuit of AAU basketball, and the spring evaluation periods have been lost to the coronavirus. What could happen in July is somewhat unsure still at this point, and there are all sorts of rumors about maybe things will be pushed back into August or September, and coaches will still get the opportunity to come out and watch you play and maybe have the chance to garner even some additional scholarship offers. But I guess my question here is, you go from high school basketball ending abruptly without a chance to compete for a state championship and to defend your title to everything you know in basketball basically being taken away. What have you done? You're a competitor. You're a hard worker. You love the gym. How are you staying in shape? How are you working on your game? How are you keeping yourself motivated without games or AAU or high school tournament games to play?
Well, I think mentally it was hard, you know, losing something like basketball, which I think my life kind of revolves around to this point. But as far as you said, everything going away, how am I staying in shape, all those things, it's just, you know, I do different things. You know, I made myself a program. You try your best. There's no one thing that I'm doing differently than everybody else. You know, everybody's in the same situation, so I just try to make the best of it.
Trey, I'm just interested, beyond the basketball side, you watching Netflix a lot, you playing video games. I mean, I think everybody's fighting some boredom here. How have you filled some of that time?
You know, I'm not really a big video game or Netflix kind of person. I'm watching the Jordan documentary, but other than that, I still don't watch a lot of TV. A lot of it's just, I watch a lot of YouTube. I watch a lot of YouTube on basketball film and highlights of other players. So, but it's still trying to, you know, I have a goal at my house, so I'm still around the game of basketball per se.
Trey, obviously you're quite a player that is represented in your success on the court, but also you're recruiting as well and all the schools that are interested and all the schools that have offered you a scholarship to come play for them. I know you want to be the very best you can be. You're not just satisfied with success or satisfied with scholarship offers from some of the best college programs out there. You always believe you can take your game to another level. What are some of the things in this offseason, whether there are games to be played or not, that you want to work on, you want to improve areas of your game that you think you can take up another notch and help your senior year be even more successful and ultimately, I guess, help you get ready for college basketball? What are some of those things that you really are keyed in on?
I think athletically, so far that we've been, you know, this quarantine or whatever you want to call it, I think athletically I've gotten a lot better. But, you know, I'll continue to work on that, continue to improve on that. But then just, you know, I read basketball. I don't just go outside and do a bunch of random moves. I do moves that are going to help me in a game. So I try to think of, you know, one, two, maybe even three things that, you know, I want to work on and get really good at. You know, normally it's my flaws from last year. And just figuring out how I can score, how I can, you know, distribute, how I can help the team be better for next year.
Trey, you mentioned a minute ago about watching the YouTube videos and basketball players from the past. You know, this really fascinates me because I know nowadays kids with their phones, they're watching these YouTube videos and these previous players. So, I mean, is there anybody you're trying to emulate, anybody you're comparing yourself to, anybody's moves from back in the day that you're trying to steal?
You know, it's all, I mean, I'd say Hakeem Olajuwon for sure. And then you see, you know, Jordan took some from Hakeem, and, you know, Kobe took some from Jordan. So, you know, I think everybody has, you know, people that, you know, you go to, but I would say definitely Hakeem right now is somebody that I'm locking in on, you know, as well as the same footwork as, you know, Kobe had and Jordan had. So those are big for me right now.
Trey, I want to dive in a little bit more to your recruiting. Obviously, you've got a number of offers to sift through. You've seen a number of campuses. But before we talk about any specific schools or where things stand in the process, this coronavirus time has also greatly affected recruiting. You can't go see campuses. You know, just so much has changed with recruiting as well. When you hear from some of the schools that really want you, how has their recruiting changed? Is it a lot of FaceTime calls as maybe opposed to text messages and phone calls? And have you gotten any, like, virtual tours of locker rooms or facilities or even campuses from some of the coaches that maybe you would just normally go see in person?
Right. I think because of the coronavirus, there's been, like you said, a lot of FaceTime rather than, you know, phone calls, and a lot more of them too. I think everybody has a lot of time, so I think, you know, a lot of schools are calling, you know, all the time. Let's see, what else did you say?
Just how recruiting had changed and the virtual tours, and also how you're communicating more, I guess, video-wise probably than you ever have with a college coach. And are any of their messages different to you during this time because of the virus? Have any of them maybe tried to get you to hurry the process up, or have any of them reassured you that, you know, however this ends up playing out, they're going to be there for you? Just maybe how this has affected recruiting overall as well.
Right. I mean, I think some schools are, you know, anxious to see what I do as far as recruiting. You know, but at the same time, I got to realize that, you know, it's my choice. It's my mom and I's choice. And I think I'm going to commit when it's right. Like I said, I haven't taken any virtual tours. And then like I said, just a lot of schools are calling more. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. You say that, you know, obviously you haven't been able to go down and see schools. But at the same time, you know, a lot of schools are calling more. So it feels like I'm building more of a relationship than I would have if the coronavirus wasn't here.
Trey, I've got to ask, for a guy in your position, so highly coveted for the next level, is this a process you enjoy? Can it be annoying or bothersome? How do you approach all that?
As far as recruiting, no, I don't think it's a process I enjoy. But I know that I have to make the right decision on it. So I think that's where all this, you know, taking my time and figuring out, you know, which school is the best. I think, you know, I'm just trying to make an educated decision. But no, I don't think it's something I specifically enjoy, no.
You're not starstruck by the coaches that are calling you or visiting you, any of that kind of thing like some kids could be?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm starstruck that a coach would want to, you know, a college coach would want to have me on their team. I'm definitely starstruck by that. But just the amount of time I spend, you know, on phone calls or, you know, it's another aspect of your life. It's like taking another job. So, no, I'm not particularly, you know, I like it because it's, you know, it's an honor to do it. But at the same time, you know, just the time it takes to do it. No, I don't particularly enjoy it.
We just had Coach Hoffman on, and he told us you're a straight-A student, as in literally never had a B in your life. I've got to imagine a guy in your position is thinking about beyond college and pro basketball opportunities, I would guess. But is there anything academically you're looking or considering as far as college and that process?
You know, I've always said – always said I want to major in physics or be something to do with math. You know, and I like school. I really like it. At the same time, I think the A's and all that stuff, that's more of just me being competitive on that side as well. So, I compete in every part of my life. So if that's something I can, you know, I guess do my best at, I'll do my best. But no, I don't think there's something specific that I'll, you know, want to do with academics so far.
And I've got to ask you as well, first of all, congratulations. You were named the Indiana Gatorade Player of the Year for this past season. And I think the last junior to do that, I believe, was Greg Oden. And so congratulations on that. And that also leads me to the question of, you were in a class, the class of 2021, that's so highly regarded as far as Indiana high school players being highly recruited, high-level talent, all these sorts of things. What do you see amongst the other guys in our state, class 2020, 2021? Are you especially close with any of those other guys?
Not, you know, I'm more of an introvert. Not really. I guess the closest guy is Christian. I've seen him may go early, but I've grown up playing against him. You know, my team and his were rivals. But no, I don't think we particularly know each other well.
And again, that was Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek. That's just a portion of the interview, pretty good portion, but there is more where we talk about recruiting. And Doug, Mr. Producer, hold that spot because we'll replay the remainder of that interview with Trey on the Tuesday program. If you want to hear it now, you can search for the Indiana High School Hoops podcast on Apple Podcasts. It's also on SoundCloud. You can hear the full interview with Coach Hoffman followed by Trey Kaufman. One final thing today before we get out of here, our senior spotlight. We do this each day for an athlete locally that has lost their final year of their high school spring sport career. Today, Mason LaGrange of Borden High School is who we are profiling, and Mason is a member of the baseball program at Borden. Would have been a four-year letter winner, so played 3 years of varsity letters for 3 years leading up to his senior year. All-conference as a sophomore and junior, 2017 all-sectional team, 2018 sectional champion, 2018 second-team all-area in baseball, and also was on the first-ever tennis sectional championship team at Borden. As far as academically, Mason LaGrange does well there as well. He's a member of the National Honor Society, big IU basketball fan, loves IU basketball, also likes to watch baseball as well. Wanted to give thank yous to some of his coaches, Coach Stotts, the Borden baseball coach, and Coach Nail, the tennis coach at Borden. He wrote that both have been great mentors to me. I owe a lot of my successes to them. Mason LaGrange is the son of Chris and Jennifer LaGrange. He does plan to attend college, not sure exactly where he'll play yet, and he would like to continue on playing sports at the college level. Again, Mason LaGrange of Borden, great career, an opportunity, Mason, to play varsity baseball for 3 years. We wish so very much that you and many others could have made it 4 years as a varsity player. That's quite an accomplishment. You were on your way to that, and we are so very sorry that spring sports and baseball canceled in this season due to the coronavirus pandemic, but we wanted to do our small way to recognize you today on the program and say hats off to you for your work in and out of the classroom as a student athlete at Borden High School. Mason LaGrange, our senior spotlight today. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday program. Back with you Tuesday, we've got Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, and a little bit of the Trey Kaufman interview. We'll play the rest back tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Thank you, seniors, for the memories. And thanks all of our Senior Spotlight sponsors, Scott Aldridge of Edward Jones, Walnut Ridge Landscaping, and UPS.com/Louisville.